what I've been doing is just kind of reading through the book of Proverbs, and we've been there for a couple months now. And just the things that pop out at me, I'm going to give to you. And put the message together concerning that. And today we're going to talk about the tongue. And kind of specific, because when you're talking about the tongue, whether you're talking Old or New Testament, there's a lot said. If you go through the book of Proverbs, you'll find there's a lot said about the tongue and our words and the things that we say. And so we cannot exhaust the subject, nor will I try. But I think there's some wisdom in some of these things, and that will help us. Today, in talking about the tongue, and especially this particular topic on the tongue, I believe this could be a huge help to any marriage, especially young marriages. I think this could be a huge help to any middle-aged marriage, and I think even some older marriages. I think this is a big help. I think this could be a big help in the home. I know a lot of the problems that we've had in our house a lot of times have been because of a tongue. There have been times that Dad has said some things and wishes he could take back. I know Mom has said some things she wished she could take back. And I know for sure kids have said things they wish they could take back. And but, you know, the tongue is a difficult thing to control. And it takes a spiritual person to be able to control that. And so we're going to look at a few verses to begin with. And then we're going to kind of mainly focus on verse number 1 of chapter 15. This caught my attention a couple, 3 weeks ago. Solomon said, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Let me give that to you again. "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." If you would, also, verse number 2, "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright." In other words, he knows, the wise person knows how to use the tongue in a good way. "But the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." If you're in, just move over one chapter, chapter number 16, and verse number 24. "Pleasant words are as a honeycomb." Okay, that honeycomb, you know what that means to me? We had honeycomb. I know what that's like. We had bees and hives when I was a kid, and I remember that. That was an exciting day when Dad would empty out that that beehive, and we'd have all of those different things of honey there, and Mom would can it, and I would always be there when she did that because I wanted to cut off a little corner of that and chew on it. It's good stuff. But to me, pleasant words are like a Reese's peanut butter egg. It's the way I reread that. That's in my version. "Sweet to the soul and heal and health to the bones." All right, now let's look over in chapter 18 and verse number 21. And here's a little bit more of a sternness from Solomon. He said, "Death and life." Wow. All right, "death and life are in the power of the tongue." That says a lot right there. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Whatever you decide to partake of that, you're going to eat thereof. If it's death, you're going to have a hard life. If it's life, you're going to have a good one. What will you use your tongue with? I think, And as we said earlier, this could be one of the most difficult of all temptations. I think our tongue, because it's so close to our brain, that sometimes there's not enough time for the brain to stop the tongue from doing what it does. You know, if we had a system, or if God would have invented a system where everything would go from the brain to the feet, back out to the tongue, maybe we'd be in a lot better shape. But there's such a close distance there that many times, somebody said one time, I spoke before I thought. That is impossible. That is impossible. We always think before we speak because it takes the brain to work the mouth. But nonetheless, sometimes that time frame is so short that we ought to take a little bit more time to think about things before we say them. We need to take a little bit more time once in a while. Now listen, this is one of those messages. You amen me a lot. We're going to move a little bit quicker here. All right, so we'll move right on. Good, you're learning. I think of sometimes some of the things that are said that are difficult to respond to. Criticism. Anyone love criticism? No, you don't. How about an angry spirit? How about hatefulness or lying? Or here's a good one. Here's those of you that are parents here, someone says something about your child. Talk about getting you fired up and start the tongue in motion. Wow. Wow. All right, so we all have things that kind of sets us off, so to speak, that maybe we don't think enough. Maybe yours is you've got a spouse that you struggle with. Maybe you've got a friend that just, and everybody has those. It's almost like anything they say, and bam, you're right there. You're sitting on a level 9, and as soon as they say something, you're jumping right on that. We all have those triggers, and I do want us to understand something, that we're all going to make mistakes. And I'll say that again. There's no one that's perfect at this. There's no one that does this right all the time, because we are fallible human beings living in corrupt bodies, dealing with the flesh. And so I don't care who you are here, at times you're going to get in the flesh and you're going to say things that you shouldn't say. But here's the thing, it shouldn't be the pattern of our life. And if it is, then we need to reevaluate some things and ask God to help us with that. So we're going to be in verse number 1 is our main text. We'll look around a little bit more as we go on. But I want us to, first of all, what is a soft answer? And so I want to take this verse and I want to break it down into words, certain key words, define those words, kind of give you my version of this verse, and then I want to illustrate it in a way that I think we all can understand. So he says a soft, what is a soft, soft answer? What does that word soft mean? The word soft means, literally, it means weak. A weak answer. In other words, not a strong answer, not a forceful answer, but a very weak answer. Now, some of us are already kind of looking at this like, now, wait a minute, God wants me to be weak? Yes. Can I say that? Yes. God wants us to be weak. Now, not all the time. I believe there's sometimes when a soft answer is not appropriate. I believe there's sometimes when we need to be a hard, so to speak, or strong in our words. If we're talking about something that is a heresy or false doctrine and it's presented to us, I don't believe that harsh words would be inappropriate for something like that. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about just general conversation. We're talking about comments made and how we respond. So the word soft means weak. The word answer, and you got to understand this, the word answer, and you say, well, this is so simple. I know, but we need to understand it. An answer is a reply. It is a reply. Now, it's not, and I want to put this in the right context. We need to interpret this passage exactly how it is. We can apply it a lot of different ways. The answer is the reply to an offensive verbal barrage or a comment made by someone that was harsh. All right, so if what Proverbs is talking about, what Solomon is saying is when someone says something to you that may be hard or angry or critical, or maybe they are hurt, and you know the old saying, hurting people hurt people. All right, when a hurting person says something to hurt you because you happen to be at the wrong place at the wrong time and caught them in the wrong mood, and they say something to you, how will you answer them or reply? So this is really the defense, it's not the offense. It's not the initial comment, it's the answer or the reply to that which is hurtful. Now, I do also believe we can apply that both ways. if we would be careful in how we speak to someone, we would be less apt to get a hurtful reply or hurtful answer. Okay, so understand, this is the reply. This is how you handle someone that comes at you with something that hurts. A soft answer, he says, turneth away. Now, that word turneth away literally means to go back to the starting point. So if we answer correctly, it defuses, if you will, it turns the tide of anger or wrath or negative emotion back to a starting point that is not hurtful. All right, so let's go on. Wrath. It says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. What is wrath here is an anger, but it's a heated anger. It is something that if I was to say something to my wife, and occasionally I do, just for instance, if I walk in the house and it, maybe it's I come home for lunch and this would never happen, but let's say I come home for lunch and she's still in her pajamas and I look around and nothing's been done. And I say, hey, what have you been doing today? There could be a temptation on her part to say something that would be very angry. And I would then say something that could be angry too. So we could get in this back and forth. But if I am careful, or she is careful in how she answers me, we can diffuse it. Now, if not, she can really spark up some emotion real quick. And Stacy, I know you all see a side of Stacy, but she's got that in her. I'm just telling you, she can say things and it just sends me from a 2 to a 10 in like that. I know y'all don't see that, and that's good, you know. But it's there, it happens, and I can do that. I've got that ability to do that to her. And so it's that initial, and you men, you know what I'm talking about. Ladies, do you know what I'm talking about? All right, so we need to be careful. Soft answer turneth away that anger, that hostility, grievous or severe, harsh words, stir up. That word stir up means to cause to ascend or escalate what? Anger. Now, this anger is called a lasting resentment. It's different. So here's what that means. If something is said to me and I say something hard, grievous, back, harsh, back, what can happen is it can cause there to be some resentment, some deep-seated hostility towards me that I have provoked because of my harsh words. And I think there's every marriage, because we're human, we have to deal with that. I know there's things that I've said to my wife, and afterwards I think, why did you say that? And you know how it is. Sometimes when you're in another fight, those things that you fought about 6 months ago comes back, and we begin to bring those back up again. Why? Because they're still there. And that's what grievous words can do. They can begin to work in the heart, and they can cause problems. They can cause scars. They can cause a lot of issues that, if it's not dealt with biblically, that will come back up to the surface later on. And that's why we need to be very careful. So let me give it to you this way. Brian White's version of this verse. A weak reply to an unpleasant word will diffuse a bad situation. On the other hand, a harsh answer will only build long-lasting resentment. And listen, if I could share anything with those that are young and maybe in marriage, be careful. Be careful. I build a lot of walls. I've shared this with almost every couple I've counseled. I build a lot of walls early on. And I still think sometimes I'm trying to beat them things down, even now. And not because her, it's me. And so we got to be careful of that. Now, I want to illustrate this. I want to illustrate this in a way that I think we can grasp it, okay? I need a couple to help me. Carlos and Jesse, would you help me? I was thinking about you guys. I almost come over and said something to you, but I thought, no, I'll just surprise them. So you're good with this, right? No, you got. You are. She's not. I saw the look on her face. All right. So do you guys ever fight? Yeah. Okay, good. See? You're normal. All right. So what would you do if he said, let's just say, now I don't want you to tell any secrets here, but what could Carlos say that would, you? Is there, I know I sprung this on you and you're like so many of them that you just really can't. Oh, when he likes to take credit for things he didn't do. Okay. All right. So you've got an option. When he takes credit, he says something like, hey, how do you think that the house looks real clean? What do you think? And then you've got an option. You can say, all right, what am I going to do about that? What would you want to do about it?
I don't say, what do I do?
Huh?
Say you can feel it from where you're standing.
Oh, ooh. Ow. Okay, but it's still the same thing. It's just the visual, you know, and sometimes those words are just as harsh as those ones come out of our mouth. Okay, so you've got a couple options, right? You can do what the Bible says. So here's what I want you to do. Now, this come from our house, and I don't know how soft it is. I guarantee it's clean. Get stretched and get ready. So what I want you to do, I want you to give him a soft answer. Can you show us what a soft answer would look like if we could visualize this verse? Is it really like that?
We really don't fight that. Good.
You don't?
Yeah, we really don't. I mean, everyone's
fine, but we really don't. Okay. Well, that's all right.
Well, we did earlier. It's been 16 years, so.
I've been married for over 30 years, and we still have some humdingers. I don't know. Maybe I need to get some counseling from you.
It's been a while.
Well, that happens. That's maybe what we should have done, brought a teenager up here. But do me a better job than that. I know that was good. I want her to hit you.
Okay.
I want her to hit you. Yes, do it. Hit him. I do. I want you to hit him. Oh. Yes, that's what I was looking for. Now, how did that feel?
Not bad.
You could take that how many times today? Any number, right? I mean, you're tough, right? You're a former football player. You're tough. You could take that, right? All right, good. All right. All right, now, we've seen what a soft answer is, right? And he could take that over and over and over again. Now, we're just going to demonstrate what a harsh answer is, okay? Now, you wanted to be up here, right? Okay, so in that harsh answer, what would that look like, Jesse?
Can't do it.
You can't do it. I understand. And I wouldn't. I would stop you from hitting him anyway. But that, don't you think that would hurt?
Yes.
You think that would hurt?
It would
hurt a lot. Do you think that could break a bone? You think that could leave some scars?
A lifetime.
Good. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. And really, I think some of you would have taken me up on that. This is going to leave a lasting impression. It's going to leave a scar. It's going to break some bones. It's going to hurt for a long time. If this, and I'm just illustrating this passage to us today, you can respond to people with this verbally, or you can respond to people verbally with this. God wants us to respond. And I think there's sometimes it's good to be quiet. I will say that sometimes when comments are made, Stacy and I, and we've taught our children, sometimes you're better off not to say anything. You are the best thing to do is just to be quiet. You know, I think it's an application of the verse where the Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. Sometimes you just need to be quiet. You need to be still. And you need to let God do what only God can do. But I think in generally speaking, it's okay to answer. It's okay to reply. People expect a reply from us when we say things or when something is said to us that is hurtful. And I know many times I really believe that people say things wanting a reply. They want to hear what you have to say. And maybe sometimes they say something harsh because they're looking for something from you to find out just how you're going to answer them, how you're going to reply. And you may grab the pillow and give them something soft and something weak, and it may surprise them, or you may give them something hard, and they may be looking for that. Now, we don't want to do that. What kind of answer will we give? Now, I want to give you just a couple things real quick of why. Why should we be weak? Why is that so important at times? Why did Solomon say it's okay to be weak in how you respond or reply to people? It's okay to be weak in your answer. It's okay. Why is that? Number one, let me give you a verse in chapter 15 of Proverbs, verse number 23. Look at what he says. Solomon says this in Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 23. He says, a man hath joy. Look at this. I think this is good. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. A word spoken in due season. How good it is. Explanation point. I love that. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. In other words, by the reply. It's interesting to me. How does one have joy by your answer? Well, let's take a look at another one in Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 1. He says this, the preparations of the heart in man. Now, let's talk, what is the preparations of the heart? The preparations of the heart in man is the way you and I prepare our heart for life. The Bible tells us the heart is very central. Out of the heart come the issues of life, precede the issues of life. We are told to guard, we learned this earlier, guard our hearts. Why? Because out of our heart comes our words. Out of our heart comes our attitudes. Out of our heart comes our actions. And so we are to prepare that heart. Have a heart that's prepared when you come home from work. Have a heart that's prepared when you go to work. Have a heart that's prepared when you're dealing with your children. Have a prepared heart when you're dealing with your husband and your wife, and have a prepared heart when someone in church comes up to you and says something to you that really torches you off. Prepare the heart. And that's not an easy thing to do. It takes some time. It takes some effort. It takes some spiritual energies to prepare the heart. But notice what he says, the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from who? From the Lord. In other words, if I'm understanding this, and I believe that I am, if my heart is prepared, Christian, it's going to be because God has prepared it. It's not something you do in the flesh. It's something that the Spirit does. So if my heart is being prepared by God, my answer is also going to come from the Lord if it's the right answer. And if God is working in me and God is preparing my heart, then I am going to give a soft answer, a good answer. And because that is God's will, because that is God working through me, guess what's going to come with that? Joy. Has someone ever come to you and said something to you and just really angered you? I mean, just set you off? And then you, in reply, you said something that was very good and appropriate, and you handled it in a spiritual way. Doesn't that make you feel good? Doesn't the Holy Spirit in you say, hey, good job, You handled it right. Then that brings the joy in your life because you've handled something in the right way. Now, conversely, have you ever said something to someone that was, or someone said something to you rather, that was mean and angry, and you totally went off on them? How does that make us feel? Horrible, guilt, conviction. But when we handle it right, there's joy. There's joy from the Lord. All right, so number one, it brings joy. Number two, because Jesus answered our sin problem with a soft answer. Now I want us to think about this. How did Jesus answer your sin? I mean, if we could back all the way up to the Garden of Eden, and we see Adam and Eve, and they're in the garden, and Eve, she partakes of that fruit, and she brings that to Adam, and Adam partakes of that fruit, and because of that disobedience, that rebellion, that independence, desiring to not follow God's way, not trusting God, led to sin. And because of that sin, the Bible tells us that the day they partook of that, the day they sinned, it was the day they died. And we understand that wasn't a physical death, that was a spiritual death. They were separated from God. So it created an innocence, and having a relationship and a fellowship with God in creation, because Adam and Eve sinned very quickly in the process, they were then separated. They were exiled from the Garden of Eden. A guard was placed there, so man could not come back in. And from that point forward, the relationship between God and man was severed. There was no good relationship. They couldn't, because sin entered in. Now, sacrifices could be made as a symbol of Christ's sacrifice that would come 4,000 years later. And so that would help the process, but there is a problem there. Sin was a problem. And even during the Old Testament, in the time of the law and the time of the offerings, you could bring the best that you had to God in the way of an offering to atone for your sins. And guess what? That was only temporary. It wasn't going to last. But then something happened about 2,000 years ago. God sent his son as a answer to our sin. So what I want to do, I want to take you to Philippians chapter 2. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. And verse number 1. Now, the Philippians chapter 2 is a great passage, and it talks about Christ and what he did for us. So let's kind of get the idea of what Paul is going to share with us here. Verse number 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every one on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Verse number 5, let's kind of get the idea, starting to get into the Christ here. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. This is called the self-emptying of Christ. He emptied himself. He made himself of no reputation, took upon the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now understand what's taking place here. Jesus is coming from his elevated, glorified state in heaven to live as a man. He is putting himself in a very, very weak position. If I could say it this way, he's putting himself in a very soft position because he's coming to go to the cross to die for the sins of mankind. He's coming to die for your sins and for my sins. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. He didn't have to do it. He could have, instead of giving that soft, that weak answer in dying for us, he could have given us a much harder answer. You know what he could have said? No way, Jose. I ain't doing it. Now, how hard would that have been? I can tell you how hard it had been. We wouldn't be here today. There wouldn't be any need for it. There wouldn't be any need for any organized religion. Why? Because there would be no access. There would be no forgiveness. There would be no righteousness available. There would be no possibility of heaven or reconciliation, no justification, definitely no sanctification. And so in order for God to bring us back together to himself, he had to send someone to make a perfect sacrifice for sin. And what Jesus did, he made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself. He made himself soft. He made himself weak so that you and I could have life. Now, think about that. Remember what we said? A soft answer turneth away. Remember what the turneth away meant? Anybody remember? I know it's only been 10 minutes ago. Huh? To go back where? To the starting point. So what does the cross enable you and I to do? In a sense, go all the way back to the starting point. When Adam and Eve had a relationship with God, you and I can now have a relationship again with God through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So what did Jesus do for you? He made himself weak so we in him can be strong. So what was his answer? The cross. It was very weak, a very humiliating thing. So as our example, someone says something to us. Why do we feel like we always have to be right? Why do we feel like we've got to elevate every situation? Why do we feel like we have to demand our right to defend ourselves? Jesus didn't. And does not it say, did not Paul say that we are to be like-minded? We are to be like him who thought himself to be and took on the form of a servant, a weak, soft person? You understand what I'm saying, right? Don't go out here and say, Pastor said Jesus was weak and soft. In the sense of what he came to do, he was. But yet he was still God. Jesus could have let each and every one of us die and spend an eternity in hell, but he chose a soft answer. So how can we not? Whether it be to our wives, and by the way, we're told to love our wives. I can't help but to believe that when you're talking about loving your wife, I think he's talking about giving a soft answer. Husbands or wives, you're supposed to honor or respect, reverence your husband. Let me get that right. Reverence your husband. Respect him. What does that mean? A soft answer. The Bible tells us that children are a heritage. They're a gift from God. Do you not think that as parents we should give them soft answers? Children, teenagers, I'm sorry, young men and young women. God says honor your mother and father until you get out of the house. Is that right? Is that right? No. We're to honor our mother and father as long as we as long as they live. I didn't say obey, but honor. What does that mean? Soft answer. You all here, y'all be brethren and sistern. Not sistern, that probably isn't right, is it? Y'all, brothers and sisters, you are co-laborers with Christ. You're all part of the same family. God loves each and every one of us the same. Don't you think we deserve soft answers? The lost people out here, well, surely, Pastor, they deserve grievous words. You don't know. I know it's getting to be ramping up the political season again, and I absolutely hate it. I hate it. You know why? Grievous words. and you want to start some bad social media mojo, start making bad comments. I believe we ought to tell it like it is. Where's that at? I'm looking for that. I'm not going here, am I? No. Brian, you're not going there. No, it's not close enough to November. No, we're not going there. But we need to be careful. Politics aside, social media. You know how easy it is to give grievous words when you're staring at a screen or this screen? Oh, it's an easy thing to do. You know why? Because you're not looking at somebody in the eye. I can say anything about Rick right here because I'm not looking at him. But when I've got to stand and look at that man in the eye, I'm going to be very careful. I'm going to be very careful what I say to Ben because he's a lot bigger than me. I'm going to be very careful what I say to Don face to face. He's a lousy dresser. No, he's a good dresser. He's right there with Ben. One and two. But we need to be careful because it's so easy to say grievous words with a screen and a keypad. And listen, I've got news for you. You can't take those things back. They don't go back. I learned this years ago. A man was in the middle of a divorce, and what they did is they pulled his wife's cell records from years past and pulled up texts that were incriminating. Wow. Those words don't go away. We need to be careful. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. It brings us joy. Now, last thing, how? How can we do that? All right, back two books to the book of Galatians, chapter number 5. I'm going to show you how real quick, and we'll be done. Galatians chapter 5, and beginning verse number 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion. By the way, it's good to have liberty here with us today. I just had to think about that. Liberty, good to have her here today. She's a little thing. 4th of July baby. You gonna call her Lib or Libby or? Do you like Liberty? That's cool. Cool. Glad she's here today. Again, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Get this. But by love serve one another. I think that's talking about what? A soft answer? Serving one another. You don't serve one another by giving harsh words, grievous words. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ouch. If you love your wife, your husband, your children, your parents, your family, your church, your co-workers, if you're going to love them as yourself, you're going to give them a soft answer. But if you bite and devour one another, can I say that this way? Grievous. You will be consumed one of another. And folks, I don't have time, but that is happening all the time. People are biting and devouring one another, in social media especially. Man, this I say then, oh, watch this. You want to know how to get not to do that? Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. In other words, you're always going to be torn between the two. How are you going to handle it? What kind of answer are you going to give? And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, that you cannot do the things that you should. But if you let of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are these. And he goes on and names all of these things. Hatred and variance being just a couple. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. Then he says in verse number 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that have crucified, those that are Christ, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us all walk in the Spirit. How many of you who are here today and you're saved, how many of you live in the Spirit? You all do, because the Spirit lives in you. But how many of us walk in the Spirit? That's something different. That's something totally different. Hey, so how are we going to do this? We're going to walk in the Spirit. We're going to let the Spirit of God control what we do. We're going to grow in Christ. We're going to learn Christ. We're going to submit to Christ to be filled with the Spirit so that God can control our tongue. But before he does that, he's got to control our heart. He's got to control our motives. He's got to control our thinking. Those are the preparations that the Holy Spirit can do when you let him. So the question is, soft or hard? All of us know the scars this leaves. And these scars are not easily healed. And sometimes they don't go away. And we have to deal with them for a long time. Let's do soft. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you that you died so that we could have life. Thank you for the Spirit that dwells within us so that we can walk in a way that the rest of the world can't walk, the way that lost people can't walk. Lord, help us to be people of soft answers. Help us to be people that are not grievous, whether it be in our speech, whether it be in our visual, things that we do, maybe it's our social media. Help us to be soft. Help us to show the love of Christ to those who are lost. Help us to show the love of Christ to our brothers and sisters. Help us to exemplify Christ in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. How many say, preacher, I know I'm saved, no doubt about it. You'd slip up your hand and say, that's me. Amen. Thank you. Put your hands down. Anyone here, you'd say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm lost. I know I'm lost. And I'm going to raise my hand. And with nobody looking around, is anyone like that? I know I'm lost. Anyone? Maybe you're here today and you struggle with words. Maybe they're all hard. They're all harsh. Or most of them. Or that's the pattern of your speech. If you're a believer, God can help you. If you're a lost person, God can help you. Begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it continues through a fellowship with him that prepares your heart to give a soft answer. What do you need to do? God will help you. He wants to help you. He's the only one that can. Father, have your will and way in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.